The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Luke 16, 19 to 31. Listen to the word of the Lord. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasts sumptuously every day. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me," and sent Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you receive your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither would they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Some of you might have seen the recent reality show on Discovery Channel called Undercover Billionaire. There's a notion in our society that today the younger generations no longer have the same opportunities to realize their American dreams. Some say the American dream is dead. So this billionaire Glenn Stern wants to prove it wrong, or just to test it out if it is still alive. He made a challenge to himself to build a $1 million business in 90 days from nothing. Glenn was born to alcoholic parents, diagnosed dyslexic, and failed the fourth grade fathered a child at the age of 14 and graduated high school in the bottom 10% of the class. After high school, he decided to change his life. And to make the long story short, he built a multi-billion dollar business and set up several foundations and received many prestigious awards for his entrepreneurship and humanitarian services. At 55, he wanted to find out if he could do it all over again. Recently, Forbes magazine reported that he might no longer be a billionaire, but he might only be worth only half a billion. But that's beyond the point. The point is whether America is still the land of opportunity. In this reality show, Stearns flew to a city that he has never been to without any connections, with only $100 in his pocket, a cell phone, and an old truck. He was challenged to create a business that is worth $1 million by the end of 90 days. He promised to the Discovery Channel that if he couldn't build a business worth $1 million by the end of 90 days, he will give $1 million of his own money, you know, to this cause. His 90-day real-life journey was put into a series of eight one-hour episodes on Discovery Channel. And last Tuesday was the finale, where he revealed his identity to the team he formed in that town that helped him build this business. At the end, he has proven that the American dream is still alive. I don't want to spoil it for those who haven't watched it, but he said that provided that you don't make any excuses. His life could have been full of excuses. He could use the fact that he was born to alcoholic parents as an excuse not to succeed. Being dyslexic could be a good excuse for him also. Many people use the lack of opportunity today in this world as an excuse. He has proven that none of these excuses are valid. And after seeing the show, I asked myself, what excuses do we have against the revival of our church? Now, overcoming excuses is a serious principle of life. The danger is some of the excuses we have are unconscious. We don't even know that we are making excuses, which end up perpetuating the failure. How about spiritual perspective in life? Can we make excuses about not believing? If we do believe, then can we make excuses for not bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Woody Allen once gave this excuse for not believing. He said, "If only God would give me some clear sign, like making a large deposit in my name at a Swiss bank." Of course, you know him. He said it with tongue-in-cheek, and we don't know whether he was serious or not. Jesus said that it is an evil and unbelieving generation that seeks signs. For such people, even God did deposit a large sum of money in their name in a Swiss bank, they would still not believe. They might find another excuse and call it a freak coincidence. We know that Bertrand Russell, one of the smartest men on earth in the 20th century, was very serious when he gave a speech, "Why I Am Not a Christian." He said if he died and saw God in heaven, and should God ask him, "Why did you not believe?" His answer would be, "You did not give me enough evidence to believe you." So, however, Jesus said there are more than enough evidences about a God in this world. You know, for those who find excuses not to believe will always find it. And he said, if they do not listen to Moses and prophets, neither would they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. So this leads to today's scripture lesson, where Jesus told the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. I'm sure we all are familiar with this story, with this parable. Unlike Lazarus, the rich man doesn't even have a name in this story, which means he didn't do anything significant with his wealth for his name to be worthy of mentioning by Jesus. He was self-absorbed in his wealth with luxurious clothing and sumptuous feasts. He was consumed by the consumables. Jesus made a stark contrast between these two people. He says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously even every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. Since dogs are not well regarded in that culture, saying that the dogs would come and lick his sores added to the degradation of Lazarus' life. Both of them died and their condition was reversed. Lazarus was at the presence of Abraham, and the rich man was tormented by fire. Then the conversation started between the rich man and Abraham. This conversation is what Jesus used to teach the spiritual wisdom. He called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, he knows Lazarus, to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames. This rich man was a believer. He called Abraham father, and Abraham also called him child in the next verse. As a descendant of Abraham, he was part of the chosen people. Maybe he thought he would be in heaven by now by default because he was a Jew, he was a chosen people. He should be in heaven as promised by God. Jesus was hinting that you are not saved by your heritage or by your bloodline. Your parents' faith does not guarantee your salvation. Next, he knows Lazarus. And the Bible says he knows Lazarus. He knows the guy suffering from poverty and pain at his gate. Yet he did nothing about it. He didn't pay attention to the suffering of Lazarus and see that it was his opportunity to make a difference with his wealth. This makes us think about our own stewardship. Are we paying attention to the needs within our connections so that we can make a difference with the wealth God has entrusted in us and bear much fruit? In order to see the opportunity, we must first value people the way God values them. Yeah, just one chapter ahead, Jesus told several parables illustrating how much we matter to God. Every single human being is valued by God. Now, we dealt with these passages and parables in the sermons of the previous weeks. They can all be linked together to make the interpretation of each parable more enlightened. The reason this rich man didn't pay attention to God's revelation is because he didn't think much about people. He didn't think much about Lazarus. Even at this very moment when he was tormented, he treats Lazarus as a mere errand boy to come to him to ease his pain and to quench his thirst. Abraham said, sorry, no one can come to you from this side. No one from your side can come to this side. Then, Father, I beg you to send him. then he treats him like a, you know, errand boy. Send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment. So on the surface, it seems that he cares about his family and brothers, but he also implies that he is in hell not because of his own fault, but because God didn't send anyone to warn him. It was God's fault that he wasn't aware of it. Does it sound familiar? You know, it is like Bertrand Russell's excuse. It's God's fault for not providing enough evidences. This goes all the way back to Genesis. Adam's excuse was that Eve, having given him the fruit to eat. Eve's excuse was the snake having tempted her to eat. She also hinted that, you know, the snake that God created, that gave it to me. So basically he's hinted that it's God's fault that God created that snake. I remember one of my first driving tickets, it was back in Burma. I was pulled over for driving on the bus lane. It was not well marked, clearly marked. So I said to the police, I didn't know. And the police answered me with a smile, saying, I'm sorry, I didn't know is not an acceptable excuse in the traffic law. Now, the rich man was trying his luck, implying, I'm here because I didn't know. I was not informed. That is the most convenient excuse for many people. And we love to make that excuse. But it's not acceptable. Not even acceptable in God's law. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. What it means is that God has revealed himself through Moses and prophets. This rich man was a Jew, obviously. He should know better. As a Jew, he should know better. For us, that is the Bible today. The Bible is the book of God's revelation. In theology, the Bible is known as the special revelation. Jesus is the special revelation, and the Bible is also a special revelation. There are also other revelations around the world, all over the earth, called general revelation. God reveals to us through other things also. If you just pay attention to the surroundings, you can see God and hear God. King David said this, put it together very beautifully. The entire Psalm 19 is beautiful. He said, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So if you pay attention, if you look up in the skies and look around among the trees, God's signs are seen everywhere. God's voices are heard everywhere. There is no room for excuses. Psalm 19 is an example of the general revelation. Even if you don't have the Bible, you are warned by God's creation. Just read Psalm 19 every now and then. And on verse 11, King David said, moreover, by them is your servant warned. See, this word warned is here. In keeping them, there is great reward. Them means the signs of God and the voices of God mentioned above. Your servant, of course, means King David himself. He said that he himself was warned by these signs and voices of God around us. This is what Abraham was talking to this rich man about. You have been warned and you ignore it. There is no room for excuses. The rich man hasn't given up. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. not loud enough. This rich man's excuse is, but it's not loud enough. It's not obvious enough. You need to provide a bold and fresh evidence. My brothers need a miracle to believe. A miracle of someone risen from the dead. His excuse is more demanding than Woody Allen's, right? And unfortunately, Abraham said, if they do not listen to Moses and prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. It's a matter of attention. The signs are all over, loud and clear. Complaining about the lack of signs and miracles is just an excuse. By this parable, Jesus is urging you and me to pay attention to God's calling, to be fruitful stewards, and to make no excuses for any failure. Faith is futile without fruit. Until we meet again, let's keep cultivating a fruitful life. Amen.